This message is a presentation of Pinnacle Baptist Church and the preaching ministry of Pastor Ray McBerry. Other messages like this are available online at pinnaclebaptist.com. The church is located at 2517 High Falls Road in Griffin, Georgia. If you're in the area, we would love for you to visit us this Sunday. Now, here's today's message.
We have seen the first nine of the plagues upon Egypt, and this morning we're going to see the Passover. We saw the introduction to the Passover last week. This morning, Lord willing, we're going to see the actual Passover in chapter number 12. But we're about to run out of opportunities to do this. I guess we could keep doing it even after we leave Egypt. But while we're still in Egypt, let's go ahead and rehearse again what the first nine plagues were. Hopefully, if we do this enough times, it'll have it ingrained in our minds and hopefully we'll remember it. So the first plague on Egypt was what? The river turned to blood. And then what's number two? The frogs. All right, and then I'll scratch a few times. What's next? Okay, there's the lice. And then what comes after the lice? Flies. Okay, good. All right, the next one. The murrain, that's right. The disease on the cattle. All right, number six. Bulls, that's right. Job dealt with that too, didn't he? All right, what's number seven then?
Hail.
Hail and fire, that's right. Hail mingled with fire. And after the hail and fire, whatever crops were left were destroyed by what? The locust. Good. Hey, you all are getting it. And then the number ninth one was perhaps the most unusual of the nine. What was it? That's right, the darkness for 3 days and three nights. All right, so then we're at number 10, which is, that's right, the death angel. That's right. All right, so here we are in chapter number 12. Let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So we say January is the first month of the year on our calendar. The Jews, though, God said, this is to be the first month of the year for you on your calendar. And so this month on the Jewish calendar is the month Nisan, not like the car. It has one S instead of two, but it is the month Nisan. And it's somewhere around the month of April on our calendars. I will say this for those that maybe don't already know it. The Jewish calendar is not a solar calendar. It's not based upon the sun, but rather it's based upon the moon. And in the Jewish calendar, there are 12 months, just like there are on our calendar. But the 12 months on the Jewish calendar all have the exact same number of days because it's the lunar cycle. And so how many days is in a lunar cycle? Anybody know? 30 days. 30 days. So the Jewish calendar has a total of 360 days instead of 365. That's why the years in the Jewish calendar are different than in the Gregorian calendar that we use today in most of the Western world. By the way, that's one of the reasons that those prophecies in the book of Daniel, when you are adding up the number of days, it doesn't come out exactly right unless you use the Jewish calendar. But if you use the Jewish calendar, there's some very interesting and very precise prophecies that we've seen when we studied the book of Daniel. Maybe sometime we'll take a Sunday evening or something and just look at those again. But that's the Jewish calendar. 12 months, just like our 12 months, but theirs each have 30 days. And the first month of the year on their calendar is the month Nisan, which is the month of Passover. Verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." So here we are, we're getting into God's rules for how the Passover is to be carried out. And the first rule is that it is supposed to be that on the 10th day of the month, Nisan, that the father of the house is supposed to put aside a lamb. It's supposed to be one lamb per household. The lamb is, God's going to give some specific requirements as to what the lamb ought to be like. And so beginning in verse number 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. So in other words, if there was a small household and there were only two or three people, and not enough among the two or three people in the household for one lamb, if one lamb was going to be way more than they needed or they didn't have enough, then they could share a lamb with the neighbors next door. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. All right, so let's put the requirements of the lamb up here. First of all, had to be without blemish. What does that mean? That's right. No spots on it. No sicknesses, no illnesses, no cuts, scrapes, bruises, sores, illnesses. It's to be in perfect health. And the lamb is also, the Bible said, to be in the first year. So he's to be a yearling. He is supposed to be in his prime of life in that first year. It also says, ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. So those are the only two animals from which it could come. But just in case you had in your mind it could only be a lamb, as we think of a lamb, it could be a young goat as well, from the sheep or the goats. Verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So they're supposed to put it up on what day of the month?
The
10th. And they're supposed to kill it on what day? That's right, the 14th, the evening of the 14th. Now, what would you suppose would be the reason for putting it up on the 10th and keeping it sequestered until the 14th, until the day of the Passover?
That's probably to make sure it stays clean and keep it protected.
That's exactly right. To put it aside for the purposes of making sure it nothing happens to it, and also for the purpose of being able to watch it and make sure that it is in good health, because you're going to observe it more with it being sequestered away from the others. Yeah, you can feed it better too for those few days that it's put up. Verse number 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. So here are the door posts of the house where you come in and you go out. And there's the cross beam across the top. They were supposed to every household in Israel that had one of these lambs, it was all of them were to be killed on the evening of the 14th of the month. The same time, same evening, all throughout the land where the people of Israel lived. And they were to take the blood and put some of it here, some of it here, and some of it here. Of course, that is a beautiful picture of the cross. The Passover lamb is a picture, a type, a symbol of Jesus and the sacrifice that he, of course, would one day make in the future for the sins of all mankind. The Passover lamb is a picture of the perfect Lamb of God. It says in verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So there are three things that they were supposed to consume there. They were supposed to have roast lamb. Now, we're about to read some specific instructions on how to cook it and how not to cook it, but roast lamb. And then with that is supposed to be the unleavened bread. And then, along with that, bitter herbs. Now, unleavened bread. That's the kind of bread we use, of course, at communion, the Lord's Supper. It'd be similar to the saltine crackers you've had before, but without the salt on it. Unleavened bread. It doesn't rise because it doesn't have what in it? Yeast, that's right. And so in both the Old Testament and again in the New Testament, especially when Jesus is talking of the Pharisees, we see why the yeast is left out of the bread. God's reason for having them use unleavened bread is because in the Bible, leavening is a picture of sin. And so unleavened bread is a picture of a sinless sacrifice. And so they're eating the lamb without blemish with unleavened bread. It's a picture of Jesus who gave his life on the cross for us who had no sin. It's why as Bible-believing Baptists, we don't use bread that has leavening in it because leavening is a type or a picture of sin. It's the same reason that we don't use fermented fruit of the vine when we partake of communion, the Lord's Supper. It's because just like yeast, the fermentation process of the fruit of the vine, that fermentation is a picture of sin, just like the leavening is a picture or a type of sin. And so we know that Jesus was without sin. His blood was without sin. And so when we observe the Lord's Supper and communion, we use unleavened bread and unfermented fruit of the vine. We use what's called new wine, not fermented wine. But they had roast lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. Now, bitter herbs would be similar to some of the spices you might use in your own food when you're cooking at home, different types of herbs. But the fact that it was bitter herbs was intended to be a picture or a representation foreshadowing the suffering of Christ. The bitter herbs is a picture of his suffering that he would one day do for our sins on the cross. Now, look at verse number 9. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. So in other words, you couldn't eat it raw. I don't know too many people that would eat lamb raw, but you wouldn't eat it raw, and you also couldn't eat it as a stew or a porridge. You couldn't boil it, in other words, but roast with fire. It had to be roasted. His head with his legs and the pertinence thereof. What does pertinence mean? Well, pertinence, it means all the things that pertain to it, including the heart, the kidney, the liver, all of that was to be intact. He was to be roasted and then the entire lamb was to be eaten. And so, in other words, what the Lord is telling us here with his head, with his legs, the whole thing was to be roasted, kind of like you've seen them put a pig on a spit and or put it in the ground and roast the whole thing. Well, that's the way the lamb was to be cooked, roasted, completely intact. And I've had people ask me before, well, preacher, why did the Lord require that he remain intact? I think that, again, is because when if you just lay a steak on the grill, you don't think about that being anything but a steak. But if he's still got the head attached and the legs and he's completely whole, you can't help but know that that's a little lamb that's being roasted. And I think, again, that's supposed to remind us of the beauty and the value of the sacrifice that was made for us when Jesus one day died for us on the cross. Jerry?
I think the lamb was pure. That's the reason why God said so. And then you had to do exactly as he says. And then that way you won't get sick. And then you follow his words correctly. That's the way you get out of Egypt.
Well, Jerry's exactly right. Number one, if you cook it the right way, the way God said it, you're not going to get sick. But also, it's the way God said to do it. I think that's the main thing. It's the way God said to do it, and he's going to lead them out of Egypt. That's good, Jerry. Verse number 10, "And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire." So in other words, you weren't supposed to eat the leftovers the next day. Whatever was not consumed that night during the meal of the Passover was to just be consumed in the fire and burned, destroyed, gotten rid of. "And thus shall ye eat it." In other words, this is how I want you to eat it. "With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." In other words, God said, "I want you to eat this evening meal with your things packed, your clothes on, and ready to go." That's right. You be ready to leave first thing in the morning. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night." Now, who is doing the talking here?
God.
So the pronoun "I" represents who? God. That's right. God said, "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast." Now, who is it doing the talking?
God.
It's God. And God said, who's going to pass through the land that night?
He is.
And who's going to smite the firstborn?
He
is. So when we, sometimes, I know growing up, I heard the Passover referred to, or what happened on the night of the Passover, as it being the death angel. Well, this is the angel of the Lord, as we've seen that phrase used in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis repeatedly. But this is not an angel. This is the angel of the Lord. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Godhead, God the Son. Anytime we see an appearance of God, it's God the Son. Not God the Father, but God the Son. So what you have heard as the death angel, this is actually Jesus who is passing through the land of Egypt that night. He's the one passing through. He's the one who's going to smite the firstborn. It's not just an angel that he sends. It is Jesus himself, who is the Passover angel. And it says, I'm sorry, what? Yes, ma'am.
Jesus wasn't born then.
Okay, that goes back to what we've talked about in our class on Genesis. Marie is asking, she's saying, well, Jesus wasn't born then, and she is right. But remember, Jesus is God. When he was born in Bethlehem, he is God in the flesh. So before he was born in the flesh, he was still God. And Jesus, in multiple instances in the book of Genesis, before we get to the book of Exodus, we see him appearing in the form of a man, but not as a man. He had to be a man to be a representative of the human race and pay for our sins.
He still have God and Jesus, the Son.
Right.
And they was both still there.
That's right.
Jesus just wasn't born in the flesh for...
That's correct.
People on earth could actually see him. But his spirit was there.
He
already
in
the Lamb's blood.
Okay, I got it now.
Yes, that's right. He had not yet come in the flesh, so he couldn't pay for the sins of mankind. That won't be until later. This is just foreshadowing what will happen in the future. But he is able to appear in the form of a man, because the Bible says in Genesis that he sat in the tent door with Abraham and had a meal with him. Jacob wrestled with him. He appeared to Gideon behind the wine press. And so he did have the ability to appear in the form of a man, but he was not a member of the human race at that point. So, and that's an important clarification. I'm glad you brought that out. Very good. So verse 12 says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. So it's not just the firstborn of the people, the families, the humans, but it's the firstborn in each of the families of the animals as well. So whichever animal would have come out of the mama cow first or out of the mama horse first, the firstborn of the animals would have died as well. Egypt has been decimated not just in the terrifying effects of these plagues, but in the financial effects of these plagues as well. There already are not very many livestock and cattle remaining in the land of Egypt, and now of those that do remain, any of them that were the firstborn, they're going to perish just as with mankind. And God says, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. In all of those first nine plagues, we talked about how each one of them was a picture of the God of the Bible triumphing over the false gods of the Egyptians, one god or goddess here or there. But God is saying, this night I'm going to triumph over all the gods of Egypt. Because the Egyptians were like so many of the other ancient peoples. They had scores and scores of gods and goddesses, and everybody had their own particular god or goddess they prayed to the most, but none of them will be able to deliver any of them out of the hands of Jehovah, the God of Israel, on the night of Passover. He said, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token. Now, what's a token?
Something you can use to redeem.
That's right. That's a great use of the word there, Alex. Alex said it's something you use to redeem something, and that's exactly right. You know, if you go to ride the BARTA or the Underground Railroad there or the subway, or if you go to ride a bus, you might have a token. You redeem a ride on the bus or the subway with the token. The word token here, God says, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's a beautiful song by that same time. Were you, Miss Mary? Well, you want to sing it? I'm not going to try to sing it this morning. Okay. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. All right, that's all I'm going to sing of it. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So God said, wherever I see the blood on the doorposts, I will pass that house. I will pass over that house. So there's where we get the name Passover. God would pass over any house where the blood was applied. Notice that it wasn't enough for them just to kill the lamb. It wasn't even enough just for them to kill the lamb and then to have the meal of the lamb. They had to put the blood on the doorpost there. They had to apply it to their household. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So God is telling the children of Israel that this is supposed to be an annual event, a holiday, a holy day.
Now they have the calendar, they can mark it down.
That's right. And now they know on their calendar this is to be the first month. They know what day of the month it's supposed to be done on. And so God is telling them perpetually this is to be done as a memorial. A memorial, same as the word memory, it's a reminder of something that has happened in the past. Obviously, God is saying, I want you to remember what I did here this night. Throughout your generations, ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance. How long?
Forever.
Now, to whom is God speaking when he says, do this forever? That's right. He's speaking to the children of Israel. I couldn't hear what you said, Brother Ray. Okay, the Jews, the Israelites, that's right. This is an instruction to Israel, to the Jews. Is this an instruction to the Gentiles? No. Did he tell the Egyptians to do this from now on?
Nope.
How about the Babylonians? No. Yes, sir?
So all those people that are in hiding, that's trying to get out of Israel, they're at risk if they're not circumcised. And plus another thing, this is leading to the 7 days where it is back, the Sabbath day. Right.
Well, this is not directly tied to the Sabbath, but it is specifically for Israel. Now, Israel has not yet been told to observe the Sabbath either. That's not going to happen until we get to Mount Sinai. But so just hold that thought, Jerry. We've got a few more weeks till we get to that part. But then we'll introduce the part about the Sabbath. So God's instruction here to perpetually, forever observe the Passover is to the house of Israel. It's not to the Gentiles, it's to Israel. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, the Gentiles, that's what I meant to say.
That's right. It's not for the Gentiles, it's for the Israelites. Verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. All right, so on what day was it that they were to have the Passover meal? The 14th day of the month. And God's saying here, there are to be 7 days, beginning with that day, that you only eat unleavened bread in your home. So, that would take us through to what day? The 21st day of the month. All right, so we'll keep reading in just a moment. But for 7 days, which is a week, and the number 7 is God's perfect number of completion, for that 7 days, they were not to eat any leavened bread, only unleavened bread. And what was to be the penalty if somebody in Israel ate leavened bread with yeast during that week? That's right. It says that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That means that they were to be banished, exiled, cast away. They were not to be allowed to be able to continue to be part of the house of Israel. That's how serious God was about it. It would be like renouncing your citizenship, except you wouldn't get to do it voluntarily. They were going to renounce it for you and you'd be banished. Verse 16.
Everything you know up till then.
Yeah.
Nothing then.
You know, that's a good point. Everything you had done up to that point, didn't matter how good it was, if you disobeyed what God said.
In 7 days, it didn't do you anything to do
that day. That's right. That's right. Good point. Verse 16, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. In other words, on the first day of this and the seventh day of this, you're not supposed to do anything except worship God, pray. No work, no getting out, running around playing football, just doing nothing but dedicating your worship to God on the first day of the unleavened bread and the seventh day of the unleavened bread. He goes on to say in verse 17, "Ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt." It says armies, that means your multitudes of people. "Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." Now the word ordinance is the same as the word law. That's what an ordinance is. It's a law, a regulation, a rule forever. So again, God is saying this is to be done not just this time during the night of the Passover, and it's not just to be done by the generation who experienced the Passover. It was to be done and is still to be done by every generation of Jews, Israelites, for the rest of time immemorial. Verse 18. "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month," we've already got that circled on the calendar up here, "at even," that means at evening, "ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month at even." So from the evening of the 14th to the evening of the 21st, unleavened bread, no leavening at all. Well, yes, sir.
Is that saying right here, I feel like that's what it's saying, is where for the ordinance of doing this forever? Is
yes, sir.
Saying that, okay, we did the lamb part in the door on this one, but for the ordinance of it, we're just going to do that for these 7 days, you do the unleavened bread? Or is it they still got to do the lamb every time?
Brother, I'm going to have to come back to you on that. Okay. Let me do a little more research on that. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is to be perpetual for sure. The other part is still practiced by the Jews. Whether that's actually what God is saying, let me get back to you next week and do a little more reading in my Bible before I answer that with a definite yes or no. I know that the Jews do still eat the Passover lamb on that evening, even now. But whether that's what, whether God was telling them to do that, let me come back to you on that. Verse 19, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. So God is being very, he's making sure there's no misunderstanding here. No one in all the land of Egypt is to eat leavened bread during this 7 days. He said, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Now, when it says a stranger, we're about to get some explanation of that. The stranger would be a Gentile who was living among the children of Israel, choosing voluntarily to become a Jew. There are people today, even well-known people, who are not Jewish by birth, Jewish by race, but they have chosen to adopt the Jewish religion. This would be an example of that. Any Gentile who has chosen to be a Jew by choice, voluntarily, would be obligated to abide by the same rule of not eating any leavened bread during that 7 days. Well, we haven't gotten to the actual Passover, but our time is up now, and so we'll have to pick back up here, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a chance to study your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take your word and, Lord, to glean from it those things that are still of value to us today. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Passover lamb. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, that it was not without suffering, that the perfect Lamb of God died to pay for our sins. Lord, help us not to treat it lightly. But Lord, I pray that it would impact the way we live every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.